Have you ever said this? I have so much to do. So much to do. If you're online today, just type in the chat, I've got so much to do. All right? I got so much to do. You just don't know. And how I know we all feel like we've got a lot to do is how we greet people. Have you ever noticed this? Like, you'll greet people and you'll say, hey, how you doing? And they'll say, oh, I'm busy. And what's funny about that is I didn't ask what you're doing. I asked, how are you doing? But how we answer that a lot of times is, I'm busy. So busy. Oh, just got so much to do. And have you ever felt this way? That it seems like the more I do, the more I have to do. Like this is unending, just no matter how hard I work, I just think I'm going to work harder, I'm going to work faster, I'm going to work smarter, I'm going to get more done this week and everything, and just run faster. But no matter how much I seem to do, I still feel like I'm not progressing. I feel like, you know, I'm sometimes chasing my tail, maybe. I feel like I'm just exhausted. A lot of the time, I just feel on edge. I feel discouraged. I feel, you know, anxious. And maybe you just feel tired and you just think, man, I need a nap. Come on, somebody. Right? I need a nap. I need a break. I need a vacation. I need some time away. But how many of you have done that? You've gone on a vacation thinking, okay, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to go on vacation. And you came back, you were as stressed out as you were before you left. Matter of fact, some of you are more stressed out because there's all the stuff you didn't get done while you're walking the beach. Now you got to not only do what you needed to do, you had all that stuff that you should have been doing while you're on vacation. So you can't even enjoy the vacation. And so what happens is many of us, I'll just give you a word that maybe some of you could relate to today. You go beyond tired. Maybe there's somebody here you feel depleted. Depleted. And depleted is even deeper, right? Because when you're tired, you give your body rest and it gets strong again and bounces back. But I feel like for many people that are here today, it's your soul that needs rest. It's not just your body needs rest. Your soul needs rest. It's deeper than just surface. And here's what the good news is. The good news is Jesus made some declarations and promises. And so over the next several weeks leading up to Easter, we're going to look at some of those promises that he declared. And today is one of my favorites, but one of the big favorites is going to be on Easter Sunday, because how many know he said, you can bury this body, but it is coming back again, right? And it did. It did. And also, don't miss Palm Sunday either, because on Palm Sunday, we're going to look at the promise of the cross, because there were some promises made about the cross, and I love Palm Sunday. It's going to be a powerful day. We're going to take communion. It's going to be an amazing, amazing day. But today, I want us to look at Jesus' words, one of his promises that he gave in Matthew chapter 11. Go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. And here's what Jesus declared, what he promised. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, who is invited into this rest? Who is invited into this promise that Jesus made? Notice, he says, all. All. And that means everybody here. All right, so turn to the person next to you and say, he's talking to you. He's talking to you. All right? Because that's who Jesus is talking to. He's talking to all of us. He's talking to all of us. And it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you did last night, last year, or last decade, or whatever. It doesn't matter. He didn't put any qualifiers to it. He says, no matter how far you've drifted away, no matter how many sins you've committed, no matter what you've done, I want you to come to me. I like what our speaker last week said. He said, he's not mad at you, he's mad about you. That was good. He's mad about you. He loves you. And the qualifier to be able to come in and enjoy this rest that Jesus promised, the qualifier is this: come to me. Come to me. If you're weary and if you're burdened. So if you're one of the people I described earlier, you have stress in your life, there's unanswered things, there's unsettledness. How many know we live in a world of non-predictable events that happen? He's inviting you to come to him. And so let's take it apart. Let's look at this today. The word weary is in a Greek word, in the original language that the Bible, this part of the Bible was written in, is kopos. Everybody say that with me, kopos. Okay, kopos means exhaustion from intense labor or trouble, weary from physical or emotional beating. So it's when a person's just gone through a lot. It makes me think about the Israelites. As you read about them in the early beginnings of the nation of Israel, the scriptures describe that the Israelites were living in Egypt, and they were living as slaves in Egypt. And the only value that the Israelites had was how many bricks did you make today? How many bricks did you make today? That was their value. And so every day, the challenge was, how many bricks can I make? From sun up to sundown, make bricks. And it was just physically exhausting, kopos. It was soul-crushing. It was spirit-draining. And they just had to keep on making bricks. I'm so glad that today, with all of our advances, all of our intelligence, all of our emotional intelligence, that we no longer find our self-worth in the number of bricks that we made. That we never try to impress someone with the title we just got at work. I'm so glad we don't have to try to impress somebody with what name is on our car, or how much we paid for our tennis shoes, or what neighborhood that we now live in. That our self-worth isn't about the kind of car, the brand of shoes, the clothes we wear, the likes that we get on the last post that we put out. Let me just tell you how this works in pastoral world, okay? So maybe you guys, maybe some of you, you go to Vegas for a sales gathering or whatever. And you know, whatever line of work you're in, maybe you have these gatherings, you know what I'm talking about? Don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about, all right? You go to these things, and you know, everybody rubs shoulders, and everybody's kind of in the same thing, and hey, what territory do you have now? And you know, how many people are you know, report to you now? And you have these conversations out in the lobby and things like that. Well, in the pastoral world, okay, here's how this works, is we pastors get together, and the question is, hey, how many people did you have last Sunday? And it makes liars out of preachers, okay? Because I know there had to be 25 people in the bathroom when we counted, you know, and some were on their way to the bathroom and whatever, and all of this. And so, or how many seats does your sanctuary hold? You know, things like that. And so we compare ourselves to others. You know what that's like. How many followers do you have? In other words, it's how many bricks did you make today? What kind of grades do you make in school? I'm like third from the top. Or what kind of college are you going to? What's the name of your university that you've chosen? What neighborhood do you live in? What job do you have? What side hustle are you doing right now? Do you have a YouTube channel? Do you have a podcast? And Jesus says to all of us who are tempted to get caught up in making bricks, come to me and I'll give you rest. Come to me, those of you who are tired of the grind, who are tired of the stress, who are tired of being anxious, overwhelmed, tired of making bricks. Come to me, all of you who think you can't go another day, who think you can't handle it, who are not just physically sinking, but your soul is also shrinking. And Jesus says, come to me. Come to me, and I'll give you rest. Look at this in verse 29 again. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Notice he says, take my yoke upon you. We don't really relate to that word too much, so let me break it down to you, because he's not talking about breakfast, all right? That is not the yoke that he's referring to in this agricultural era that he is speaking to. He is talking about something that would have been very well known to the people of that day, and that is a different kind of yoke. I think they can pull up a picture for us. It looked like something like this, and it was a device that was manufactured. You wouldn't just put this on one animal, it would go on two animals so that it would join the two animals together, sometimes oxen, whatever, animals that would be chosen to either pull a cart, maybe something super heavy that needed to be moved, or it could be used to drag a plow through hard dirt and to be able to till the soil. And so you would join together these two animals, these two around the collar, and you would allow them to pull in sync, because instead of working independently, it was like they were working together, and they would be able to pull more weight than they would be able to do on their own. And Jesus is offering to us to be yoked to him. to be connected to him. In other words, I'm inviting you to not just make bricks every day. I'm inviting you to a life that is different from your neighbors, that is different from the culture, that is different from other people. It's a different way of living. I'm inviting you into that, to which maybe there's somebody here today that says, well, how can Jesus know what I'm going through? I'm a single mom, and I work two jobs, and I've got these kids, and I've got all of this on me. Or somebody else says, hey, did Jesus have so much college debt, student loans like I do? I don't think he understands all of the stress that that causes in my life. Or he doesn't have the boss that I have and have to answer to in this particular situation. And I just want to say, ooh, I think Jesus had a big assignment. So, for example, Jesus is assigned to leave the glory of heaven and more or less become a worm, a human in flesh on the earth, to experience pain, sorrow, abandonment, to experience all the things that a human body can experience. Jesus became that. And then his assignment while going through all of this day to day to day to day is to also live perfect. Try that one, right? Not just for a moment or a morning, but every day. Because you have to be the perfect ultimate sacrifice, the sacrificial lamb of God, as John the Baptist put it. You have to represent God taking the sins of all humanity upon himself for you. You have to do that. You have to be quiet while you're doing it. You have to not lash out. You have to take it all upon yourself and be crucified in a painful, horrendous death for sin that you did not commit. That was quite a job, quite an assignment. And so Jesus says, hey, watch me how I do it. And I know this had to happen because the disciples are watching him. They're watching him day by day by day. And they connect something because at one point they said, okay, we get it, we think. Can you teach us to pray how you pray? Because there's something there. Because you don't get mad. You don't get, I mean, read it yourself. You know, the disciples that Jesus says, hey, 5,000 plus people showed up. We're going to feed them. And the disciples freak out. They're like, I don't think we're going to do that because we have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus is still not freaking out at how much food is available. He's still not. It's amazing. And so they watch this day after day after day how he does. And even with demonic people and all kinds of things, he's not flustered. He's not like, what are we going to do? You ever read that? Does anybody read the Bible here at Crossroads Church, huh? I'm just telling you, it's not in there. He's not doing that. And I think they connected something because he would get with the Father. He would get in connection with the Father, and then he would go and do these things. And I think they connected it. And what the connection is when you have a relationship with a living God yourself, even like Jesus, he was busy, but he was never rushed. He was able to disconnect from the crowd and be able to connect to the Father, and it changed everything. And now Jesus says, I want you to learn from me. I want you to come to me, and I'm going to give you this rest. I'm going to give it to you as well. And in verse 29, again, he says, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find, notice this, rest for your soul. That word rest, again, in the Greek, the original language it was written in, anapausin is the word. Anapausin. And what it's only mentioned like five times. And what it means is inner rest or peace while doing what needs to be done. Peaceful productivity. So in other words, what it's describing is not rest from work, but rest in work. Because see, that's what many of us do. We say, oh, I need a vacation. Or I need a nap. Or I need the longest nap that's ever been done. Right? But you get up, and now the walls have crayon on them. And you're like, okay, it's worse now than it was before. It's not rest from work, it's rest in work. That's what the word means. When Jesus says, I'm inviting you into something the world can't offer. I'm inviting you into something that the culture doesn't understand. I'm inviting you into something that is not produced on the outside, it's produced on the inside. And it's not rest from work. You can rest in work. And what, how you can pull that off is working with Jesus. Okay? Working with Jesus. John, I'm going to pick on you over here. All right? Can you come up here for me? All right? So I didn't talk to you ahead of time, so I hope you're okay. I'm not going to dump anything on you or anything like that, so you're safe. But John, today, you're going to be Jesus, okay? You get to be Jesus, okay? Don't let it go to your head, all right? But you get to be Jesus, okay? And so John is Jesus, and so I'm over here, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I've got so much to do. I've got so much to do. I've got so much on my plate. I have so many decisions to make. I have things, and you know how it is. You know, your kids, and you're worried about your kids, and what are they going to do, and choices they're going to make, and choices they are making, and different things, and the job, and the career, and, you know, am I making the right decision, and the finances, and the stress, and how much is groceries now, and all these things, and all of this is happening, and oh, I've got the, you know, that addiction that I just can't seem to break. And oh, I've got this frustration, this anxious feeling. And I said I wouldn't be anxious anymore. And I said I wouldn't have fear anymore. And I wouldn't have all these things anymore. And I'm going through all this and everything. And I've got all this going on inside of me. And here's what Jesus says today. He says, would you just come to me? Put your arm around me there. And he says, and yoke to me. Take my yoke upon you. What I used to think what Jesus was saying is, I'm going to put a yoke on you. But no, what he's saying is, I want to take from you. You're pulling this all by yourself. You're trying to get all of these bricks made. You're trying to do all these. You're trying to impress all these people. You're trying to do all of this stuff and things in your life, and you're doing it on your own. If you'd come over and connect with me, I'll help, and we'll walk together. Come on, walk with me here. Say, and And then what happens is I start noticing, man, the load feels lighter. Come on, keep walking. I'll tell you when to stop.
I'm taking the lead here.
All right, all right. So then, hey, we're going to go this way. And so I'm starting to notice that, man, there's a peace that I didn't have yesterday when I was trying to pull all this by myself. Hey, I have a strength that I didn't possess yesterday that's inside of me that wasn't there before. All of a sudden, I feel like I'm not alone. And then I'm close enough, I'm starting to hear whispers that I am with you and I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. I'll never leave you. I'll never abandon you. Hey, greater am I that's in you than he that is in the world. Hey, no weapon formed against you is going to prosper because I am with you. How many know what I'm talking about today? But see, here's the problem. Some of you, you're over here. How you doing today? Busy. Making bricks. Got to do the grind. These kids. These bills. This whatever. See, all of it. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Why? Because we're trying to do it on our own. We're trying to break that addiction. We're trying to set ourselves up for success. We're trying to do all these things. We're trying to figure out how we're going to do this single life, how we're going to do this new divorce life, how we're going to do this financial situation, how we're going to do that. And Jesus says, would you just get over here and connect with me, and I'll help you. I'll help you along the way. How many are glad for Jesus today, right? Hey, thanks, John. Give John a hand, too. So, see, it's a different rhythm. It's a different rhythm because now I'm not walking the way I used to walk. I'm not feeling what I used to feel. I used to feel so alone. I just felt like I was on my own. I used to feel like I'll never get over this. I'll never be able to get through this. I'll never be able to overcome this. And it's because we're working, and we're not letting him work with us in it. Trying to prove yourself. How many are tired of doing that? Tired of trying to be good enough. See, our true value is not in what we produce. It's in who we are. It's in who we are. So what is rest? What is rest? Rest is this. Let me help you, church. All right? Rest is whatever refocuses you on the grace, the goodness, and the glory of God. Whatever refocuses you on the goodness, grace, and glory of God. And so let me just share a little bit today personally. For me, one of the things that helps me to do that, to get back to the grace, the goodness, the glory of God, is reading the Bible. Is reading the Bible. See, I try to read the Bible every day. And the reason why I try to read the Bible every day is not because it's my job. Okay? It's not just my job. See, the honest thing is I wouldn't have to read the Bible every day, and I could get up here and impress you each week. I could read the Bible probably one time a week and get up here and impress you and know something more than you know. It's just a fact, okay? I could probably do that. So I don't read the Bible to impress you. I don't read the Bible because I've got to preach about it again. I'll tell you why I read the Bible, because I love what the Bible does for me, okay? I love what it does for me because it helps me. Oh, man, it helps me. It helps me every day that I live. There's so many times that I'm wondering what to do, and a scripture will come to my mind that I wouldn't have known if I hadn't read it. There's so many times where I'm in a place and a struggle, and I'm trying to figure stuff out, and all of a sudden a story out of that ancient book will come back to me. And I think, oh, yeah, that's what that guy did. Maybe that's what I should do. And God will use Scripture to help me. The other thing that I do is pray and connect with God. And there are times in my prayer life when I pray and I know what I'm praying. And there are other times when I don't know what I'm praying. And I allow God to just kind of pray through me. I allow the Holy Spirit to pray through me to God in ways that only He can. And there's such a intimacy. There's such a power there. There's such a connection that happens through that. And worshiping just gets me back to the goodness of God. When I start worshiping Him for His goodness, I'm telling you, one of the newer songs is The Goodness of God, and I'm telling you, that song tears me up. All my life, You have been faithful. All my life, You have been so, so good. Because that's my testimony. That's who He's been to me. How about you? So good. He's so good. And so worshiping Him just elevates me. See, it's the reason why some of you made a super good choice today to come to church. Yeah. Because you could have done other things, but you came to church and you felt the same thing that I felt. I mean, both services today, I'm tearing up. I'm a mess and everything. I'm like, I got to get it together because I got to get up there and speak. You know, I got to preach. But I'm telling you, I was so lost in the presence of God. How about you? Just powerful being in His presence. It just refreshes. Another thing for me is go outside. Go outside, because I'm telling you, day or night, I'm impressed with the Creator. I'm impressed. What was it? 5 or 6 planets you were supposed to be able to see last night? Did anybody see them? Yeah, I didn't either, but all right. I thought maybe some of you did. All right. But anyway, you're supposed to be able last night to see all these planets. It's incredible what God has made, and the beauty of His creation, just to get out and walk in it sometimes. I love in the summertime when it's warmer to get on my bike and to feel the breeze and just to know I'm out in the beauty of God's creation. And then when it's cold outside, I get on a treadmill, and the treadmill's not the joy, okay? But thank God for AirPods. Come on, somebody, right? And so I put those AirPods in, and I'm listening to the Bible sometimes while I'm on. And sometimes I'm praying in the Spirit. I'm praying different things while I'm on the treadmill. I don't get real loud, okay? So I won't kick me out or think I'm nuts or whatever. But I connect with God. Do you know what I'm saying? So I don't know what it is for you. You don't have to do what I do, but you need to do something. And for some of you, maybe it's to go to lunch with somebody who feeds your spirit. You know those people? That you go to lunch and you don't just get fed physically, but you get fed emotionally. They just help you. to connect with God. Maybe you go this week on a prayer walk during your lunch. And you walk about your business place and you just circle it in prayer. And maybe you worship in your car on your commute instead of playing something else in your car. Instead, you praise God and you worship Him. And not just on the way to work, but on the way home. And especially if you've got kids or you're married, you need to come into the house filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? And so, have coffee with God. How do you have coffee with God? Open up the Bible while you're having your coffee. And when you open up the Bible, God opens His mouth. And God begins to speak to you as you're just sharing time together. Maybe you do the crafts that you haven't had time to do in a long time, but you make time to do. Whatever feeds you, you go to your life group because you love those people and you just connect with them. Or a prayer group, you start a prayer group, maybe at work or maybe in your neighborhood, whatever. I don't know what this looks like for you, where your line of work or school or wherever, but you make time for those things that cause you to step out of this that the world has to offer and step into what God has to offer. And when you do, you discover His power, His presence in your life. And what happens is when you're tired of the grind, maybe you're there today, huh? You tired of the stress? Tired of pushing? Tired of the day-to-day grind, trying to achieve? You're tired of being miserable? Jesus says, come to me, and I will give you rest. Doesn't that sound good? And here's what's even gooder about it, all right? We're in the Midwest, I can say that, right? He promises it even if you don't deserve it. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to get there. You don't have to be perfect or whatever. Here's all you have to do is receive it. Receive it. And just come as you are. You ready today? Are you ready? You ready to stop all the hustle bustle and just come find rest? Let's pray. Father, for some of us today, it's a reminder because it's so easy for us to get sucked into the culture, the rat race, all of the things that we see around us. And so, Lord, today, help us to refocus on our relationship with You. Maybe you're here today and you say, Craig, that's me. I have a relationship with God, but sometimes I forget, honestly. Sometimes I take on too much. Sometimes I try to pull the weight on my own. Sometimes I get overwhelmed at what all's on my plate, and I fail to remember that I'm yoked with Jesus. And if I'm yoked with Jesus, if I'm connected with Him, then I'm not in this alone. My kids are not just my kids, they're His kids. These finances, this problem, the situation at work, it's not just mine, it's His too, because He's walking with me. If you're here today and you say, Craig, I needed this today, because I don't want to carry my stress out of this church today. I don't want to carry these burdens alone. I know Jesus is with me, and if God is for me, who can be against me? And so today, just thank you, God, that I'm reminded today that you are with me. You are never going to leave me, never going to abandon me. I just thank you, Lord, that I can cast these cares upon you today. If that's your prayer, if that's your desire today, would you just raise a hand, church, all over this room? Let's be honest today. We can just give it to him. Maybe we've forgotten this week just how good he is. Maybe we've forgotten what he wants to do in our lives. Father, today we just come to you knowing there is a promise that if we come to you, we will find rest. Not a rest from our work, but a rest in our work. That even while we're in the middle of whatever it is, we know we're not alone. And we know that you're with us. And if you are with us, who can be against us? If you're with us, there's more for us than against us. God, we trust you. We declare over anxiety, fear, depression, over the circumstances of life, over everything, God, to connect with you daily to find strength from you, because working together, God, we will find a strength that is not of our own. And we thank you for that. While we're still praying, there may be others of you that, if you were honest, you would say, hey, I don't think I'm connected to God like that. And maybe you've been religious before, or maybe you've had church before or whatever, but maybe today you feel like, I don't think I have a connection to God like that. To be able to feel his presence, whether I'm in the gym or I'm at work or I'm at home or wherever I go, I can be yoked to him. But if I can, if that's possible for me to be yoked to God, to be connected to him, divinely connected to him, and he's inviting me to come, then I want to come today. I want to come to him today. I want to cast all these cares, all of this stress, all of my sin. I want to cast it all on him because he cares so much for me. And I'm just telling you, Jesus took all your sin upon himself, as I said earlier, and he did it for you so that you could be forgiven. He was God's sacrifice for you. And if you're here today and you say, I believe that, I want that in my life, will you just stretch up a hand all over this room? Just stretch it up right now. Yeah, hands all over this room. Father, we come to you. And we believe today that you're going to change our lives. Come on, just pray this prayer after me. Everybody pray it so that those who lifted a hand will pray it as well. And online, just type the word decided in the chat. We're going to be praying for you as well. But come on, pray this prayer after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on a cross for me. I believe through his death, he paid for my sin so that I can be forgiven. So today I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And from this day on, I am not alone. I know that you are with me. And I thank you for your presence and your power from this day forward. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's celebrate those who prayed that prayer. Are you kidding me? That was awesome. Wow. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, there's one more thing I want you to do. The card that you filled out, just go ahead and take it in your hand. Here's what it says on the front side of the card where you put your name and your information there. It says, my decision today. And if you prayed with me just a few moments ago and you committed your life to Christ, now, maybe for the first time, maybe you say, I had religion before, but not a relationship with God. I don't know what that looked like. But if you feel like I made a commitment to to Jesus today that I've never done before, just check that. If you feel like, no, I used to have a relationship with God, but I walked away. But today, I walked back, and I received him into my life fresh and new. Then just check that box. I'm renewing my commitment to Christ. We're going to be praying for you, believing God for your life. God's going to start working in your life in an incredible way. We want to be a part of the journey of you meeting God in a supernatural way. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Prayer partners are going to stand down here at the front after I've prayed. Listen, you can come and receive prayer today. If you say, well, I just need somebody to pray with me, pray for me. These folks would love to pray with you or pray for you. One more thing. There's a Next Steps room right across this hall, and an elder of our church will be over there. And if you want to talk to somebody about a next step, they would love to talk to you about that. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the ability to be in your house today. Oh, we're so grateful for all that you're doing in and through our church. And God, we ask that you just move as we go outside these walls to people who need you. So many people, God, stressed out today. So many people frustrated today. So many people that don't have peace. God, help us to show them you this week. Holy Spirit, draw every person down who needs prayer to receive prayer today and do miracles in this altar in Jesus' name. Amen.